name of Jesus Christ. You read in verse 10 of the 8th chapter of the Epistle of Romans that if Christ is in you, although your bodies are dead because of sin, your spirits are alive because of righteousness. With them, to be dead and alive is, of course, a strange way of talking. And anyone who is here to hear this, the first we read last Sunday and again today, if you were to contemplate the Bible of the Christian gospel, undoubtedly, we would find the recommendation for St. Paul more than strange. It would not reflect the very profound understanding of the condition of man as he has known it from his researches or his reflections. Yes, there is a polite recognition, of course, among such people of internal conflict which needs to be resolved regarding moral choices which must be made. It is bad form to do injury to someone who is disadvantaged. On the other hand, there is the interest of the stronger of the criminal has called charity. And it is stronger who has the power to write the history of what is right and righteous. Most people think of ethics and morality within the terms of human possibility. Do the best you can. No one can really ask for more. But Paul talks about someone being dead and alive, just as Luther talks about people who are seemingly guilty of peccatoria, people who are simultaneous at the same time, righteous and sinners. And Paul offers a very different interpretation of the human condition and of human capability. His thread of meaning is summarized in the very last verse of our reading, which we have just heard in the verse 18, for our convenience. But if Christ is in you, then the body is dead on account of sin, but the spirit is alive on account of righteousness. And this righteousness is an earthly righteousness. It belongs to Jesus Christ. He lived for us. He obtained it for us. He did for us what the law could not do in us. He fulfilled the law, therefore, by his perfect suffering and death. And now he confers his righteousness on us by means of the faith which the Holy Spirit gives in us through his word. The righteousness which avails before God, as Luther once said, can't be acquired or earned by anyone. It is the property of another. He who earned it in our place. It must come to us as his unspeakable gift. It is ours when we trustingly receive it by faith. And here is our answer to Paul's lament at the end of the previous chapter when he wrote, "Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body doomed to death?" And he answers his own question by pointing to the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has judged and condemned sin in the human nature, at least that all human beings can be liberated from their guilt, from their sin, and from judgment. Now, if a non-believer has listened to us at this point, his reaction may be that we have been offering him a mind-boggling paradox. Paul himself offered a military corrupted condition. And psychiatrists today usually make a good living at dealing with people of internal conflict to resolve. A study of human behavior will lead to the conclusion that everyone must do what he can to cope with his problems. That's just common sense. And so why do we speak this way? Well, on the ordinary level of daily life, we grant that all these objections are largely true. Learning to cope with daily tasks living part of the process of growing up. But when you think of the biblical understanding of our responsibility before God for the stewardship of our lives, we know that each one is asked every moment the question that Adam posed. Adam, where art thou? Adam, what is your first relationship to me? It is in such moments of recognizing responsibility that we see ourselves naked, wretched, and dying. Indeed, what are we doing in God's creation? Have you got an answer? And when you have to speak of flesh, you mean the human nature in revolt against God, the condition of Adam in his and after his fall. The mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, the apostle says. It does not submit to God's law, indeed it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But the Christian has peace with God because of himself. The Christian is a forgiven sinner. That is a paradox. The Christian believes that God accepts him, and the Spirit of God confirms this by his indwelling gift. This faith is not the product of human imagination or the result of human decision. The faith created by the Spirit of God is also the work of God in us. Believers in Jesus Christ are truly literally people. They are the new people in hearts and minds and all their powers of whom Christ has been talking, and of whom the apostles have been talking. Luther wrote on this very topic in this epistle as follows. Faith is a living, busy, active, mighty thing. It is impossible for it not to do good work in second place. It does not ask for there are good works to do, but before the question arises, it has already done them. Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that a man would stake his life on it 1,000 times. With confidence in God's grace and knowledge of it makes men glad and bold and happy in dealing with God and with all his creatures. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit maintain such a faith in the hearts of every one of us, according to his given grace.